One Man's Family, winner of 46 national awards, a Carlton E. Morse creation. One Man's Family, now in its 26th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. In 60 seconds, we'll hear Chapter 56, Book 129 of the Barber Family Saga. But first, hear this.
I'd like to borrow a few moments from our show to ask you a question. Suppose a little man with three arms and five eyes should skim past your ear in a flying saucer and ask you, what is the biggest business on earth? To be truthful, you would have to tell him that the biggest business in our world employs about 350,000 people, handles 25 billion items every year, transacts $14 billion worth of business in all of its 43,000 branch offices each year, but never clears a profit. Well, maybe such a business sounds out of this world to you, but it actually exists and functions. That big business is the United States Post Office Department, headed by the Postmaster General. Naturally, the work of the post office isn't only the collecting and delivery of mail. Some of the employees of the post office are bookkeepers. Some are engineers. Some plan building layouts and devise gadgets to give you better mail service. Others keep mailbox keys and locks and the 5 million mailbags in good condition. And here's an interesting sidelight for you. Did you know that mailbags have 13 stripes on them to represent the 13 original states? The Post Office Department has many other types of employees, such as the Post Office Detective Force or Postal Inspectors. Their job is to see that no money is stolen from the mail and to track down racketeers who try to sell worthless merchandise by mail. Then there are the workers in the Postal Savings Department. That's a government-operated savings bank with branches in the various post offices. It comes under the supervision of not only the Postmaster General, but also the Attorney General and the Secretary of the Treasury. All in all, the Post Office Department of our United States government is a mighty busy organization, working on behalf of each and every one of us.
Today, lost in the fog. Seacliff lies hushed in a heavy fog this evening as Lieutenant Hank Murray drives cautiously under the porte cochere at his mother's house, 13 doors from the Barber family home. A moment later, we find him in the vast front hall, calling from the foot of the sweeping mahogany stairway.
Hey, Greta, you ready? Mom, who's upstairs?
Hank, Greta's going to be late. She phoned from downtown.
Oh, well, that's too bad. What's the matter?
Can you come up a moment?
Coming.
Some friends of her grandmother's are here from Norway, and she got caught up in sightseeing, I imagine. Come in my bedroom. I have to find some earrings to go with this. You like it?
Yeah. Haven't seen you in an evening dress since your anniversary. Where to?
Dinner with the Duckworths, and then bridge, if Mrs. Duckworth can hang on to her card.
You sound a little bitter.
I didn't mean to. This is part of it, Dan says. I'm getting a liberal education in how to be a corporation wife. Sit down, dear.
Okay. Greta say when she could get home?
I'm sure she expected to be here before this. The fog must have held her up.
Mm.
I suggested that she drop in at the store and come home with Dan. Oh, yes, Hank. There's a wireless from Pinky and Cousin Consider. They want you and Greta to come to Tahiti on your honeymoon.
Tell them to write the Surgeon General. Where is it?
Where'd I put it? Oh, in my purse. I was going to show it to the Pokes. Open my purse, the black one.
Hello, who's around? Hello, Dan?
There's Jack. Will you call to him?
Hi, Uncle Jack. Up here. Come on up. Dan isn't home yet. Mom's dressing. They're going out.
Well, everything's fogged in, and sensible people are staying home.
Yeah, I had to hug the curb driving from the Presidio.
Hi. Hi, Hazel. Well,
People make such interesting noises when I get dressed up.
Well, what a dress. Turn around. Beautiful. Where'd you get those earrings?
Oh, these are the ones Cousin Consider gave me for Christmas. You find the wireless, Hank?
Yeah. Listen, Uncle Jack, it's from Pink and CZ. Tahiti is lush, lovely, lavish, and lyric. Tell Hank it was made for honeymoons, one of the rare places that entirely lives up to expectations. Have tried to phone you, couldn't get through. CZ sends love, feels better every day. We have no plans except to loll around on the hotel veranda until he gets his strength back. Love to all, Pinky and CZ.
That boy has a style all his own.
Yeah.
Listen, somebody come in?
I'll see. Dan? Greta? No?
No, I thought I heard a door close. Well, here's a contract Dan wanted me to look over. I've attached a note, Hazel. I advise him not to sign it.
What is it?
Oh, a sideline deal with Duckworth. I don't think he should go into it. Too many liabilities. I've explained my reasoning in the note.
Don't hurry off.
Well, Betty isn't feeling too well tonight. The girls are going to get dinner, and they'll need a referee.
What's the matter with Betty?
Oh, just doesn't feel up to par.
You want me to drop in?
As a doctor or a nephew?
Both. Or either.
Yeah, you might. She can't seem to whip up much energy.
Lost some weight, hasn't she?
Well, you know, she'll give the diet a tussle for a few days, whereupon one of the girls makes a gooey cake, and bang, away we go again. I don't think it's the diet. Could be, of course.
I'll drop in after dinner.
Oh, thanks a lot, Hank.
Get that, will you, Hank?
I'll wait. It might be for me.
Hello? Oh, grandmother. No. When? Well, have you tried Jones? Aunt Claudia's? Well, no, wait, I'll see. Anybody seen Grandfather?
Not at my house.
He was here for a while this afternoon, but he's been home since then, surely.
What time?
He was here twice today. At 1, and then again about 2 o'clock.
Mm. Grandmother? Well, nobody's seen him around here since 2 o'clock. He did, huh? Well, that's strange. Did he say where he was going? When was this? Uh-huh. Well, he probably walked further than he meant to. It's pretty foggy, you know. Okay. Bye-bye. Grandfather went for a walk, and nobody's seen him, and they told him they were going to have an early dinner.
No, that doesn't prove anything. He didn't hear it. Well, I'll see you later. Oh, hello, Greta.
Good evening, Jack.
Greta, Dan bring you home?
No, I came alone in the taxi. He was still busy at the store. Oh, Hank, good. I want to see you. Will you excuse us? I have some news from Norway. Shall we go to my room?
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family.
Let's take a moment to think of the world we live in, of just how small it really is. Means of transportation make it easy to go from country to country these days. So, let's say that you're going to be stationed in the Panama Canal Zone. Panama, the youngest of the American republics, is a narrow, curving strip of land lying between the Republic of Costa Rica and the Republic of Colombia. In addition to U.S. military installations in the cities and villages of Panama, you'll find yourself surrounded by a dense tropical jungle, lush, beautiful, and mysterious, where strange Indians and an abundance of wild game can be found, in addition to a variety of insects and reptiles, some poisonous and deadly. Never go into these areas without proper equipment and guidance. Like all Latin Americans, Panamanians place great value on personal courtesy. And sometimes you'll see the old Spanish custom of men throwing their arms around each other's shoulders and patting each other on the back in greeting. A most important fact to remember is that Panama has its own set of governmental laws. Respect them, and you in turn will be respected. Remember, the only way to have a friend is to be one.
Now, in the guest room where Greta is staying, she closes the drapes against the tumbling clouds of fog.
And it isn't the clean fog of yesteryear. This has a touch of carbon monoxide in it.
Well, it was very dark in the city, and the buses were very slow. I was lucky to get a cab.
What's the trouble, honey?
Oh, these were friends of my grandma's from Trondheim, Mr. Andresen and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
They've known my grandma since before I was born, and they saw her only 3 weeks ago. At first, they broke it to me. She is sorry she left San Francisco and said for me to write oftener. Though I do write her every Sunday. Then, after a while, they told me she is desolate and would dearly love to apologize for not liking you and is so sorry for the estrangement from us that she is desperately unhappy.
Uh-huh.
I know, Hank, yet I cannot forget she was the one who helped me most. She made it possible for me to come to America. It is because of her that I am here in this house and engaged to you.
Well, you couldn't say she was a matchmaker exactly.
I know, yet Mrs. Andresen said, frankly, not to be surprised if I should hear extremely sad news one day. Grandma Stephenson is grieving. At her age, this is serious, and I feel responsibility.
Did they have suggestions?
Yes. Yes, they did.
Well, go ahead. Huh? Hard to say it?
If I want Grandma not to just fade away, they think I should fly home and prevail on her to come back to America.
Bring her back here?
If you do not want me to go.
No, I didn't say that, Greta. You know what you have to do.
I do, Hank. Even before I heard all this, it was haunting me.
Well, then you do what you have to do, Greta.
I wouldn't stay a minute longer than I must. I would be so eager to get back.
Well, let me say this, so it's clear. Now, I admire Grandma Stephenson. She's a stout character with a lot of admirable qualities, kind of a pioneer type, really rugged. But, consciously or unconsciously, she'd like to split us up. Now, wait. It's kind of a compulsion, but I don't think she can do it. Not if we'll both realize what she'll be up to.
She may have quite a different attitude now, and nothing will split us up, Hank. Not Grandma or the United States Army. Not anything.
Okay, let's see when you can get a reservation.
More of the Barbers in just a moment.
Get the pictures. Through USAFI's series of telecourses, you can now study by film. In addition to studying certain USAFI courses on the high school and college level in the usual way, you can now make it easier on yourself by studying the same courses on film. Courses are presented in a series, and each series includes from 12 to 20 films, each film running a half hour in length. These courses are taught by outstanding teachers from various United States universities and public schools. The course, American Government One, for example, is taught by Ralph K. Hewitt, associate professor at the University of Wisconsin. This is your chance to increase your learning by visual methods. So contact your education officer for details. Then enroll with USAFI and let a telecourse be your guide.
A few minutes later, Hank drives his car carefully along the curb, counting vague landmarks as he goes 14 doors down to his Uncle Jack's house. He sees a dim figure in the fog, stops, parks, and walks along Seacliff Drive.
Hello. Hello, Dad. Who's that?
Uncle Jack? It's me, Hank. What's the matter?
Oh, hi. Well, they're kind of worried over at the house. They thought Dad was walking, but his car isn't in the garage.
Gosh, well, he wouldn't go far, surely. Not in a fog like this.
Well, it's odd he wouldn't phone, though. He isn't in any of the usual places.
Hey, where was that?
It sounded like over in Camino del Mar. Come on, let's see.
'One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 57, Book 129, An Eight-Car Collision, Frank Barton speaking. 'One Man's Family, winner of 46 national awards, now in its 26th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California.
One Man's Family has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.